and welcome to episode 7 of Eagles Don't Hunt Flies, the show all about the life and career of John Moxley, right here on the Poison Rana Network. I'm your host, Martin Bushby, and joining me, as they do every month, are Dickie Bird and Brandon from New Jersey. And how's it going, lads? You were both in Philadelphia for WrestleMania, looked like a right laugh. You were hanging out, going to WrestleMania, going to shows. How was it, Dickie? You had a big old weekend, or week, as it was for you in Philadelphia.
Yeah, so like, I mean, in 2022, I went over to spend some time with people in the US and Canada, including Brandon and the Poison Rana guys. And even though I came back a physically broken man, I had the absolute time of my life. And I'm constantly using the meme, the lost meme of Jack guys saying, Kate, we have to go back. And that's how I felt quite a bit. And that was a big reason why I wanted to go back to WrestleMania, spend time with everybody and, you know, pop that WrestleMania cherry, say that I've at least been once and everything. Unfortunately, the whole trip just didn't really live up to expectations. That's not really anyone's fault or anything. I think it was more just relative to how great of a time I had previously when I went over and hung out with everybody. But I was very sick, actually, even before I left, thanks to my son. He gives me all sorts of things, and he gave me two illnesses that I was battling. Yeah, so I had a stomach flu, which he gave me like weeks before, and I assumed I'd be over it, and I did get rid of it. But while I was over there, so the plane ride over was a bit rough. But then before he left, he gave me just a common cold or anything. You might be able to hear it in my voice a little bit, but I still have that. So having to deal with that, and it was a very short trip. It was literally trying to get off the plane, adjust to the jet lag, which I wasn't able to really do just because of extenuating circumstances. Straight into Bloodsport, but then, you know, by the time Bloodsport ended, I just was falling apart. So I missed the DDT show, which I heard was pretty good. And then, yeah, the rest of the weekend was just doing my best to try and recover as much as possible because I wasn't sleeping at night, and trying to get out and do stuff and mainly see people and spend time with people, because that's really the main thing, right? And that's really what I wanted to go over there and do. And I managed to hang out with the guys again, you know, Sino and Frank and meet some new people, like, you know, B. Detroit and also hang out with the man, Scott Farry, who we talked about in our first episode with Nick Cage. I guess just like that was really the highlight, but I wish I have spent more time with them. I wanted to spend more time with people like Rich Fan and Jordan Goodman, and I really only got the 2 hours at the Drinkers Pub, because every other time that I think like WH messaged me saying, hey, you want to hang out? I'm like, I am dying in my bed right now, please. So, and the whole 14 people in a house thing, I'm too old for that shit. Really, I'm just too old for all of this shit, Martin. I know I'm speaking to the choir. I'm actually the young lion of the three of you, but I'm really, really looking forward to WrestleMania next year, guys. From my home, just chilling out, doing whatever I want with it on in the background. I can watch the clusterfuck, and you know, I was supposed to go to that too. No way I could get to that after night one of WrestleMania. All in all, probably a disappointing experience, to be honest. As much as I did enjoy seeing people again, just kind of good to sort of say that I've done it. But that'll be it, Mun. The next time I venture outside of this country, it will probably be in your direction rather than Brandon's. So,
yeah, it's a shame, isn't it? Because obviously you did have a monster flight, didn't you? So, like, you know, the jet lag is going to fucking kick your ass on that one, especially when you're going for such a short amount of time. But, yeah, and also having the cold and everything like that. Yeah, they were a weird one, aren't they, Mania? And especially I feel now with the whole Mania weekend stuff, like the shows and the matches aren't as good as they probably were, like pre-COVID and things like that. So you haven't really got like that to really get into. I mean, I didn't watch any of the... I only really watched the two sort of like WWE shows and a bit of NXT, and I don't blame you for not going to the Joey Janela show after Mania, because I mean I did that 1 year and God, it was a fucking slog when they're coming out for that fucking gimmick battle royal and you're like, oh my God, this is just going on forever, and it just feels like a test of the wills at that point. So yeah, don't blame me for not doing that. And also, after that crappy first night of WrestleMania, I don't blame you for not wanting to do anything. But Brandon, how was your... I mean, we had WrestleMania in your home state or whatever. So, like, how was that for you? I mean, you were, like, going in and out of sort of, like, meeting out with the guys, weren't you?
Oh, it was great to see everybody. I mean, I agree with Dickie. Like, I did that, the Cena Rock 2 Mania, and... that was it for me. So I tried to warn everybody. I was like, it's going to be brutal getting out of that building. Like, but it fell on death ears, but it's neither here nor there. But no, I told my, I had fun. My mania was seeing everybody, that, especially in my neck of the woods. It was great to see everybody. I mean, there wasn't really enough time to hang out with everybody. I mean, besides the people that we were with. I mean, I had to go to night one for Mania. I had to go to a freaking wedding that night. Such a freaking my weekend was ruined because I had to go to a wedding two people I really don't even talk to in my family. So it was neither here nor there.
$300 listening to this podcast.
Yeah, come on. That's what we're here for, right? Besides Rampage. But no, the meal at the wedding was good, and you know, I had a nice couple cocktails and whatnot. But other than that, no, the ECW show was it is what it was. that was really the only indie show I went to. I mean, can you call that show an indie show?
how was night two of the wedding? Was it a two-night wedding?
Oh, twice in a lifetime, the divorce and the wedding.
Wait, what? The divorce and then the wedding? Oh, that was quick.
But nah, I agree with you. 14 people in a house. I mean, especially with all the snoring going on, man. Next time everyone gets a house together, they got to sign for a sleep machine.
Sleep apnea machine? Snoring, Brandon. Were you snoring all night, Brandon? Is that what kept Dickie awake?
I hope not. I remember one night we came back and Dickie's watching F1. Yeah, I knew his sleep schedule was completely fucked. It's like 3 a.m. he's watching the qualies.
No, it was 3 o'clock in the afternoon for me. Look, I'm such a fucking idiot. Like, in all honesty, like, credit to Davey for putting the whole thing together, that house and all that sort of stuff. And you know, for some people it's, you know, their thing and all that. I should have just booked my own place. Like, I'm just a fucking idiot. Like, even when I went to Toronto and I was there for 2 weeks, you know, they said, hey, you can sleep on our couch or whatever. And I was like, no, I'll just get my own apartment in the city or whatever for a couple of weeks. And like, I don't know why I didn't do the same thing this time, but you know, I wanted to live, I wanted to live the experience. And it's just not me. It's not a me thing.
Mm. Yeah. I think I can still go pretty well, but yeah, I think I would have got a hotel. Yeah, rather than staying with 14 other people, no matter how close I was to them. But Brandon, you got to recreate the infamous now when New Jack flung the door open and kicked your ass with his Gore-Tex boots. You got to recreate that, didn't you? I'm sure I saw a photo of you guys like outside the fire escape for the ECW arena.
Yeah, man. I remember that when that happened, there was like no steps like that. It was a regular side door, but that whole building is completely gentrified. Like it looks nothing like what it used to be like 25 years ago or whatever it was. But yeah, it was great to regale everybody on how New Jack made me piss in my pants and wanted to end my life for bootlegging.
Did you bring the sign that said, "Hey, New Jack, I won"?
So I always get a good kick when I look. I always get a good belly laugh when I look at that text that from my brother and saying that I won because New Jack had passed
Did
away.
you spend much time with Enzo Amore at that show?
Oh well, yeah. I mean, see, that was weird in itself. He had nothing to do with ECW, and Enzo's doing a. I guess he came to the building and he did a pop-up signing, and during the course of the signing, he was involved with some woman, a live sex show. What
Wow.
a bizarre! I'm trying to get a soda, and Enzo is in the middle of finger banging his girlfriend in front of everybody. It was bizarre. Well, welcome to the ECW arena. He's hardcore, apparently.
Was he still handing out bootleg CDs while he was doing
He
this?
was. He was. One of
Wow.
our roommates, Graham, was lucky enough to get one of those copies.
Lucky, lucky.
Apparently, Graham doesn't have a CD player, so I don't know how he's gonna play it. But that's also hilarious. But it
I
was
would
good to
not
see.
be crossing. I would not be crossing state lines with a CD that Enzo Amore gave me. He will tell you music's on it, but you don't know. There might be some JPEGs or something on that thing.
Right. Turn Graham in for states with states evidence. But no, it was. I mean, it was the show itself. I mean, the show shouldn't have been happening. I don't know how these guys got sanctioned. I mean, Danny Dorian looked like he was three. He looked like he was about to. Go to the transition to the afterlife. He looked completely out of shape. It was a bizarre. I mean, they tried. That Bart Simpson cake meme. At least you tried. Well, that was the ECW reunion show. They tried. Crowbar got a Mania entrance. I don't know why. And I fell asleep during the main event. So
Of course, you're not on brand, on completely on brand and on brand there, falling
Keep that
asleep.
streak. Keep Undertaker had a streak. Now so do I. Was sleeping during main event shows.
Yeah,
To be fair, that
awesome.
show was like 4.5 hours long and it had an intermission for some reason. I mean, Brandon, I don't think Brandon can be blamed for that. I would have done the same thing. Luckily, I was out much earlier than him with the
You were
show
at
that
the
I
best,
was at.
and you were at the better show. I mean, in hindsight.
Yeah, I guess so. It wasn't the greatest. I'm really glad I got to experience the proper GCW Atlantic City, true GCW sort of thing. I'm also glad I got to see a blood sport, and I'm glad I got to take a photo of Nick Khan hugging, someone who everyone thought was Brock Lesnar, but was Josh
Oh,
Barnett.
yeah.
And that went off. I'm glad I got to see a spring break and all those sorts of things. And I would have been glad to have seen a clusterfuck and all that sort of stuff. But they don't feel like proper GCW shows. I guess it kind of depends on where they are. Like there weren't any light tubes in any of these matches. And I guess, Brandon, there's a Philly thing that's even
Yeah,
though it's, the home of hardcore, you can't really be that hardcore anymore.
that's a commission thing. That's why GCW doesn't even have shows in Philly anymore. They go to South Jersey and Delaware, where
Yeah, because
they're.
you were saying to us like ages ago, you were like, I don't think these GCW shows that they're running are going to be in Philly. I think they're going to be in South Jersey, and you're going to have to go there. But they were, and they yeah. So that was cool. But I mean, look, aside from seeing everybody, the main highlight, Brandon, and you were there, and our man Scott Ferry was there. But the main highlight was that I won Terry Funk's branding iron at the Lapsed Fan live show. This is the legit branding iron that was purchased in his estate sale after Terry Funk passed away. I have
Wow.
photos of being branded by the hosts. And we went to Drinker's Pub for the post-wrestling thing right afterwards. And I gifted it to John Pollock because I thought he was probably the best human that I know and have a relationship with to care for this thing as a historian of professional wrestling. It would also be a complete bitch to get that thing through customs for me. So it was much easier just to smuggle it in. Braden's friend Shane was driving, so they managed to get it across the border that way. But yeah, the next time you talk to John Pollock, ask him where Terry Funk's branding iron is, because it's in the post office somewhere.
Wow, yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, definitely, you won't want to be fucking carrying that in your luggage on the plane back home. Yeah, that'd be a right pain in the ass to take.
Though to be fair, man, I could very much use it here. I mean, I live on a ranch, like, you know what I mean. But yeah, it's probably just easy enough to get one down the road and it not be a piece of wrestling history.
Yeah, that's true. Very, very true. But anyway, enough about Mania, because there's a bit of Mox news before we get into the main show, because the big news, of course, is Mox has joined the family. He's finally joined. He's gone full clippers to the hair. He's gone fully bald, and thank God he looks great.
He came
fantastic.
Home.
Bald Mox. That's what we want. He looks amazing, don't he, Dickie?
I thought you were going to say, new IWGP heavyweight champion John Moxley, considering when this episode comes out, that result will have happened, and I don't know. But yes, it's been a long time coming. He suits it, you know. He's obviously been transitioning to fully bald for a while. But, hey, man, I sent you that photo of early him and Renee, good hair, looking, you know, he's, you know, the what is it? What do they say? The roosters come home to something. Anyway, he's he is where he is, and bless him, we lost one. But I'll keep blow drying my hair in memory of him.
He came home, man. He finally came home. He was hanging on for
the chickens
11.
Came home to roost. Thank you. Yeah. All right.
He came home. That thing was hanging on for dear life. It was fighting for its life on that scalp, but he pulled the trigger. I'm proud.
The lunatic fringe no more. He's just the lunatic, I don't know, astroglide. What is it?
He's got plenty of heads. He's got plenty of headspace to blade on now.
Welcome to the club, Mox. Me, you, Larry David, David Draymond. We're all in an exclusive club.
Meanwhile, real men got quaffs like us. Dickie, long hair, long beautiful hair. Some of it with grays in it. Beautiful. Beautiful either way.
Your beard is incredibly like dark black. It's just amazing. Like even I've got like little white hairs, but you just, how do you do it?
Have you never heard of Just for Men, Dickie?
I do not do that. That is a crime. That is a false accusation on your part.
Slander.
but you mentioned it there, Dickie. Obviously, we are recording this mere hours before Mox goes one-on-one against Naito for the IWGP World Championship. And so by the time this goes out, he might be IWGP champion. He might be the first Grand Slam world champion. Fantastic video package that they put out for this match. Really got me interested in a Naito match in the first time in ages, Brandon.
Yeah, I mean, there's no way Moxley's doing the job in Chicago. this is a slam of dunk as a name your heavy favorites in a sporting event, like Man City winning against Groning or whatever. he's not chopping to anybody in Chicago. No way. AEW guys never lose anyway, right? So it's a feather in his cap for that guy. Well deserved if he becomes the Triple Crown champion.
Look. I had a terrible, like, exhausting week of wrestling over in Philadelphia. I come back a broken man mentally and emotionally, but then there's this Dynamite episode. So I'm like, oh, I better watch this. The worst thing I've ever seen completely and utterly broke me to the point where I texted everyone and said, I think I'm done for a while. I think I'm done with wrestling for a while. I can't, it's all just like that Tony Khan, you know, CM Punk footage thing was just, I just can't, I don't even want to talk about it. And so like, I was really down and out, but guess what? Then I saw, oh, this Friday, John Moxley versus Naito for the championship. And I was like, typical Moxley, the one person who can actually go, you know what? You said you were done. You said you needed time off, but I'm not even going to give you a couple of days. You're going to come back and you're going to watch this entire show. And, you know, I passed it around. I think Trevor Dame tweeted it and I passed it around to you guys as well. It's like, if Tony Khan wanted to respond to CM Punk in his MMAR thing, all he needed to do was just wheel out John Moxley, redo that promo that he did when Punk was still with the company after their match, I guess. And it would have done it in the coolest way possible. But instead, Moxley is wrestling for the New Japan title. He's going to try and save that company because that company's in the shits as well right now. So strap him up, all right? Make Moxley the champion in New Japan. Turn that company business around, and he will. And then we'll see. Let's see. He can stay in New Japan for a bit, and then he'll be back. Let's say for Forbidden Door, some months down the line, and just unify the titles. Let's say. And just run wrestling. And yes, I did also think he was coming out at WrestleMania as well because I'm a psycho. I am a psycho. But this is the other thing too, and I just wanted to bring this up because we talked about it on one of our shows. You know, Tony Khan said, oh, no one contacted us about Moxley making a one-off appearance. And what went through my head was, yeah, probably because he wasn't even under fucking contract, you psycho. They could have just asked him directly, hey, do you want to just appear? And he'd be like, well, yeah, because I'm not under contract to AEW. They just don't seem to send me contracts, so I could just do whatever I want. But he was probably like, nah, I'm in Japan right now, so all good. But I had my fingers crossed. My experience at WrestleMania may have turned around if John Moxley came out with his Shield garb. In that final match, but here we are. So going, rooting for Mox. Let's go, strap him up. Let's do it.
Absolutely. Same. So for this month, we had the show last month. Thank you so much, everyone, for the great feedback on that one. And obviously, you know, big shout out to you guys. You know, that was a fantastic episode from last month, but, obviously, you know, Dickie had a load of travel stuff going on. So we kind of figured we'd do something a bit more simple and take a look at three of Mox's matches from CZW, matches that, you know, we might not look at as part of a larger story, but just some fun deathmatch shit that Mox was doing earlier in his career, you know, a bit of a palate cleanser, if you will, or a deathmatch selection box. So let's get into match number one, which is pretty famous in the US deathmatch community. Takes us back to the 6th of June 2009 and the CZW Tournament of Death number 8. And it's a tables, ladders, and silverware match between John Moxley and Brain Damage. And for those of you unfamiliar with Brain Damage, he was a pretty well-known deathmatch and hardcore wrestler who wrestled mainly for, you know, the likes of IWA Mid-South and CZW and had the nickname the Ultraviolent Terminator. Sadly, no longer with us. He was found dead in 2012. But yeah, like I said, really well known for his death matches and stuff, sort of like in the early 2010s. And location for this Tournament of Death is a field in Townsend, Delaware. And Brandon, come on. It's round the globe, round the states with Brandon. Have you ever been to Delaware, or specifically, have you ever been to a Tournament of Death in Delaware?
No, I mean, what was that?
A field. Have you ever been to a field?
Have I been to a baseball field like at the Tournament of Death in Townsend, Delaware? I've been to a field, yes. I've never been lucky enough to go to a Tournament of Death. But Townsend, Delaware, very, very farm community-esque town. the reason why I know this is I've driven through it many times. But I mean, it's Delaware is like, you can get away with a lot of stuff going through Delaware. Like, you get away with the liquor laws because there's no sales tax. So that's why during COVID, everyone was driving to Delaware to buy their booze instead of Pennsylvania or New Jersey. And also, you get away with you get away with sawing somebody's forehead in that state as well.
Wow. The no rule state, then, basically.
Yes, because nobody's there except for crooked companies that use Delaware as a shell company.
Wow. It's funny this because it just looks like the rings in a field where you just pull up your truck and then just walk out your truck and then you're there at the ring. So it looks like perfect for a wrestling show. I think most of these tournaments of death are in this very field, but yeah, it looks great for a wrestling venue. Just pull your truck up, get out, and there you are right in front of the crowd. And pretty decent sized crowd who are pretty vocal through this entire match. And this is a round one match in the Tournament of Death. And on commentary, we've got Brian Logan and Greg Excellent. And we're here. They've got a table and chairs set up, kind of like a dinner party. Tables, ladders, and cutlery, as it was called. Billy Graham's out here helping set up the table. He was the leader of the Cult Fiction stable. Thanks to Shane Silver for telling me about that, friend of the show. Dickie, describe Billy Graham to our listeners who may not have seen him before.
What are you asking me? Billy Graham?
Yeah, Billy Graham, the guy who was helping set up the matches as they sat down at the table.
Not superstar Billy Graham.
Yeah, well, to be honest, look, I mean, you're asking the wrong guy about questions about these things because, I mean, when I watched this, I mean, I felt like I was out of my depth. But when the commentators mentioned Billy Graham, I was like, the fuck is superstar Billy Graham doing at this thing? So I can't really tell you much, to be honest, Martin. But I can say that you called this a palate cleanser of a match with three matches of palate cleanser. That's probably what I was going to tell airport security when I tried to watch this in a bar before my flight. And quickly decided against it. But yeah, how about you tell me about Billy Graham? Because that might be a little bit better for this episode.
Well, I had no idea who he was. Like I said, friend of the show, Shane Silver, informed me who he was. He was basically a really tall, skinny, goth-looking guy.
It looks like he's going to sell meth to these guys.
Yeah, that's why his name might be Billy Graham. Perhaps he's selling another form of powdered drugs. But they have some cans of pop and some food, cutlery and plates, and it doesn't take long before Brain Damage slams some cake into Mox's head and flips the table over. Apparently there was a thumbtacks in this cake. Good job neither of them ate it. But
a lot of magnesium in their point, diet for that cake.
It is at this point that I am sitting up in bed watching a Tournament of Death match on my iPad. And I turn to Mrs. Dickey and I say, how hard would it be to bake a cake with thumbtacks in it? Because I just need to evolve it. She said, yeah, it should be fine. Problem is that it will just sink to the bottom. So you need to slam it pretty hard into the face, I guess. So, that was the only comment that I really got.
Well, it's like how in the 20s how they made those cakes with the files in it. Like how do they make those cakes? Like give it to the prisoner to break out. Like in a 3.
You just make the cake and then just insert the file into it. Why do you have to bake it with the fucking? You can't do that with thumbtacks. I guess I don't know. Who knows? Fuck.
I think that might have been just a movie thing as well. But I don't think anyone was actually breaking out of prison with a nail file.
My favorite one is the Three Stooges where the cake looked completely fake. It looked like a sofa cushion. It was covered in chocolate, and then they just opened the cake in the fire.
Classic. Anyway, after the cake slammed into Mox's head, he fights back with some punches, and then he bites brain damage, then breaks a plate over Mox's head that looked like it really hurt. And John then fights back with a chair to the gut and the back. This ring, obviously, they must have had matches before this match, is just a mess already. And then it's even more of a mess of just plates and food just strewn everywhere. It looks absolutely disgusting. Mox then breaks a plate over Damage's head. Fans chant, "You suck dick," at Mox. So clearly he's a bad guy here. Brain's now bleeding from the top of his head. He fires back there with some punches, and Mox is caught in between the ropes. And Brain Damage stabs Mox with a fork and runs it across his head. Ooh, look nasty, that one. Mox is now bleeding on the outside. And I'd like to note at this point that there's no mats or anything on the outside. It's just like this field, and obviously wrestlers have been running around it the whole time. And, you know, it's all dirty and looks like people have been walking across it the whole time. And, you know, Mox is here, cut wide open, so I hope he didn't get any mud in any of them cuts, because I imagine that could cause him some issues. But back in the ring, and Brain is setting what looks like a car windshield with barbed wire around it, which apparently commentary said a fan had brought, and he's setting that up onto two chairs. And then also at this point, Dickie, I also noticed there was a grandfather clock next to one of the turnbuckles. That was a bit random, I thought.
Man, this was wild. Like, these three matches that you picked, like, when I watch, I won't talk about the other ones yet, but I mean, when I watch all of these, I'm just like, man, what the fuck are you doing? And then I just watch them, I'm like, this is insane. And like, so much happened. I can't even remember what happened with this grandfather clock. I remember seeing it there, but you'll cover it, but I mean, like, I can't for the life of me remember who went into it, if it was even destroyed, if it was just there for show. But yeah, man, this was wild, and also made me feel very, very uneasy. But at least at this point, I thought to myself, you know what, I probably could have actually watched this match in the at the airport bar and not really had anyone care. That would change, but. Yeah.
What club did the ref play in the Premier League? He looked like he was wearing a soccer jersey, like he played for Norwich City or Leeds.
And he was the goalkeeper.
He was the goalkeeper.
Yeah, what was it like?
Gloves
black,
on.
Black and yellow stripes. Yeah, I can't think off the top of my head what a football kit that could be. Yeah, he probably would be more of a goalkeeper, yeah, especially with those gloves on. But sadly, no, the grandfather clock didn't get used despite the crowd constantly chanting for it.
Yeah. You ever picked one of those up? They're heavy.
Oh, yes. I think they kind of suggested on commentary that this was a fans bring the weapons show, and clearly this homemade car windshield with barbed wire wrapped around it. You know, we had that there. But anyway, so Mox pulls Damage to the outside. Like I said, no covering, just grass and muck. Both men are bleeding a lot now, and Damage hits Mox a few times before throwing a chair at him, which wraps conveniently around Mox's head and, you know, whacks the chair lid on Mox's head, and that's covered in blood. And at this point, I notice there's some kids sat on their parents' laps in the audience. So, yep, take your kids to this in Delaware. Why not? You know,
welcome to Redneck Newcastle, Delaware. Bring your kid to a death match day.
What's wrong with that, Brandon? Good old-fashioned family fun, this, isn't it?
All about the bonding, right?
You don't have kids, man. You got to get them out of the house one way or another, man. It just doesn't matter what you take them to.
So Mox takes a few more chair shots. Damage then picks up a sword that's also randomly in the ring. I'd not spotted this before. Sadly, doesn't get to use it because Mox runs into him and starts choking him out with his belt, and Damage fights back and takes Mox's belt and uses it to throw him into the post. back in the ring now, and Mox is thrown over the ropes with his belt round his neck because damage chokes him out. And I was wincing at this one. I was like, oh, and it looks, you know, obviously there's ways that wrestlers do this stuff, but this one looked particularly nasty, especially Mox dangling over there with his belt. And damage then, this is what I meant to ask you, Brandon, about your qualification about what these tools are that they start using here.
Because damage, a tool of man.
Damage then gets what looks like sort of like a blade from a buzzsaw, and he inserts it into a baseball bat. It's kind of like a weird greeny type, sort of like plasticky baseball bat or aluminium type baseball bat, and then starts to go to town on Mox's forehead. I mean, commentary saying he's trying to scalp Mox, and Mox is just absolutely bleeding everywhere from this sort of like buzzsaw here, Brandon.
Yeah, you use that saw for like drywalling and stuff like that.
When it's connected to a baseball bat?
Well, not in that fashion, but okay. The saw he uses to blade his forehead. Okay. What would have happened if brain damage slit Moxley's throat? What would have happened? Would they have stopped the match, or would they have kept fighting?
I think he wins, well, right?
Yeah, I think Moxley would have been dead. I mean, there was so much crap in the ring, he could have quite easily slipped when he had this fucking buzzsaw thing in his hand. Anyway.
Wait, there was a David Carradine shout out too during the match.
Oh my God.
Rest in peace. Yes.
Yeah.
Rest in peace.
When he was getting hung by the belt, when Mox is getting hung by the belt, they call it the David Carradine. Unfortunately, Mox wasn't having a wank though while it was happening.
So yes, he wasn't hungry like the wolf in Thailand.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Anyway, brain damage suplexes Mox back into the ring, and then it's through the car windshield barbed wire table he set up earlier. Crowd absolutely loves that because the air horns start going off because it sounds like a bunch of them have all got air horns because why not? This fires Mox up and he starts trading punches with Damage. Damage then gives him a sickening muscle bust. Like Mox like just gets planted on his head here and his head's like bouncing up and down because of this muscle buster. This is only for a near two count, and then the camera zooms in and you can see the Damage has obviously cut himself, so he's bleeding from his wrist now. And then this is when the crowd's chanting use the clock, but they don't. That's obviously been saved for another match. Damage then pulls out another electric saw, but this is the one I was really confused at, Brandon. What would you use this one for? Because it was kind of like a weird, like the handle for the saw was huge, but then the blade on the saw was quite small.
You know what? This is the blade that you would use for drywall, and I got confused with the other one. My apologies.
The other one was like a buzz saw, right? Like
this is the blade where you cut corners for your drywall, and that would be good for proper precision.
Yeah. Well, it's good. It worked well on Moxley's head as well, didn't it? For yes, proper precision as well.
My apologies for the wrong weapon that brain damage brandished against John Moxley.
Yeah, it is at this point that I would have been kicked out of the airport and never gone to WrestleMania. So maybe I should have watched this match.
The saw that he was using though is very reputable company, Ryobi.
They're big in England as well.
Yeah. No. My ride-on mower is a Ryobi, and I've been waiting 3 weeks for it to be fixed. Someone's going to come out and fix it. They've told me it's going to be another 3 weeks. I don't want to hear it, Brandon.
All right, fair enough.
Fuck Ryobi and the shit mowers.
Yeah, fuck Ryobi.
Yeah, anyway, crowd's chanting CZW at this point, and Mox is just punch drunk as he's taking the electric saw to the forehead, and the crowd is going crazy at this point. Mox's head is an absolute fucking mess here. Ugh. He escapes to the outside, and then all of a sudden a man dressed up as what looks like a cross between Leatherface and Mick Foley comes out with an actual full-blown chainsaw, distracts brain damage before Sami Callihan is out, who goes for brain damage before Mox runs on, gets a quick schoolboy for the win. Lot of fun match, sure, only about 12 minutes. Lots going on, gore upon gore upon gore. Never seen an electric saw used in a match before. Random ending. Sammy Callahan from today looks like he's at Sammy Callahan from 2019. What a match. Love it. Absolutely brilliant. And for those interested, Mox lost his second round match to Nick Gage, so he didn't progress to the final. But, I mean, he did all the talking in this first match because, I mean, I can't imagine you could have had many more sort of like blade shots to the head after this electric saw and all the other things that were going on. But, yeah,
Sammy Callahan looked like 2008 Jericho with that fit, too.
Yeah.
I can't believe that night two of WrestleMania main event just lifted their finish exactly from this match. I couldn't believe it. Just random person came out for no reason. Another random person. A bit of a distraction. Finish. Celebration. There you go.
I'm disgusted in myself.
The Undertaker actually looked like that guy holding the chainsaw.
Overall thoughts on this match anyway, Brandon? Did you enjoy this sort of like trip down memory lane looking at this death match in Delaware?
It was a fun for the whole family type of match, like especially during the Halloween season. Gore and you got some technical moves with the muscle buster and the schoolboy roll up. It was a good car crash type of match. It was cool. I enjoyed it.
Dickie, any more final thoughts on this match?
Oh no, I just love you this month, Martin, because after the week that I've had and stuff like that, it was good to turn my brain off, or in this case, damage my brain. And just watch some good old fashioned plunder fun. You know, it almost reminded me of our first episode where it was kind of like death matches are best when they, you know, you got to get creative with it. And in this case, when you talked about it, it was the fans bring the weapons, and I think it's pretty legit in some cases because, like you said, they didn't even use the grandfather clock. So a lot of this was kind of improvised. I would have liked to have seen what they did with that sword. But yeah, there was just a lot of belly laughs from me and a few squeamish moments. But yeah, two thumbs up. Just fun and disgusting at the same time.
Yeah, completely agree. Yeah, I love watching it. Like you said, you just turn your brain off and just have fun watching this one. Like we. In match two as well, because next up we have the Switchblade Conspiracy team of John Moxley and Sammy Callahan versus the Naptown Dragons team of Scotty Vortex, Scott Vortex with a Z, because this is a CZW, and Drake Younger. And this is from CZW A Tangled Web 2 on the 8th of August 2009. And Moxley and Callahan teamed a lot as the Switchblade Conspiracy before they broke up and feuded with each other. So definitely something I do want to go back and look at more of their matches on future episodes, because they wrestled a lot together, not only in CZW, but then they did tours of like WXW in Germany, and I think they were tag champs there for a while and stuff. So certainly want to go back and look more at their sort of tag team. But not some Scotty Vortex. I'm not claiming to be like a CZW historian or anything. Not too familiar with Scotty Vortex. Seemed to be a regular for CZW around this time. And Drake, obviously, we talked about in our first episode, you know, a great rival of Mox, you know, ruined himself with his stupid opinions and actions. But, you know, he's great in these matches, if I'm going to be honest. Yeah, but
He earned a callback. So he must have impressed you in that first episode, Martin.
Yeah, sadly, I think these matches are what, you know, contributed to some of his opinions now. But location for this one is the arena in Philadelphia, most famously the ECW arena. I mean, Brandon, you went there. How was it this time from going, you know, back in the day?
Oh, so, so this is completely different than what it looks like now. Now, it's a classy ass joint. Like, you got banquet seating and stuff like that. Like, the bar looks immaculate. Like, they have boxing matches. Back then, they had metal bleachers and people standing on top of each other. It was so metal and grunge at that place. It was completely different than what it is now. Like back then, like fire codes were being violated. Like if there was a Great White concert and it was at the ECW arena and there was a fire, everyone would have died with all the fire violations. Like at that that concert, that show, that back in the day, you know. But yeah, it's completely different than what it was back then. Now, I mean, now it's beautiful. It's all grown up and mature compared to it has a family. It's compared to back then when it was single and ready to mingle and fucking everybody across the globe and then just like a den of ill repute.
It's a general area. Cause, I mean, you also used to read it was in like a rough area sort of thing. Has that all been gentrified as well?
It's like sort of. There's like union halls and stuff like that. It's like an industrial complex like area, like where factories and stuff like that. Like row homes are there too. So it's not as bad as it used to be, but it's all cleaned up as well. But it's very represented.
Right. Yeah. So like one of I always
like your normal like factory town.
Yeah. I always feel like these sort of
like
legend.
From, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I always feel like these legendary places that you're supposed to go and watch wrestling. Obviously, before they did up the ECW arena, always the most uncomfortable places to go and watch wrestling. I went to watch PWG in Reseda, and yeah, like basically, once you got to your seat, you couldn't move. And if you wanted to go to the bar or the toilet or anything, you had to like climb over like loads of people. They were definitely breaking the fire code in that place when I was there that night. But anyway, back to this match. And this is a big event for CZW. I was reading that John Zandig was stepping down as CZW owner after DJ Hyde bought him out. So this is the first show after DJ Hyde bought it. And this match is a big blow-off of a big feud between Switchblade and the Naptown Dragons. And we've got Greg Excellent on commentary again. And it's Dickie, we've got Skinny Mox. Skinny
is
Mox
Jay White paying tribute by calling himself the Switchblade?
Yeah, I mean, he could be. He might have been studying these matches. I highly doubt it, though. But yeah, sadly for you, Dickie, we've got no sort of like, we've got Mox, Skinny Mox in trunks, so no sort of like big quads in this match.
All right. Well, the quality of this fucking video, I mean, I really couldn't tell who was who, to be honest. This is a bunch of white, blurry things moving around. After a while, I was like, okay, I'm pretty sure that's Mox. Pretty sure that's Sammy Callahan. And then, honestly, Scotty Vortex and Drake Younger were interchangeable for me throughout this match. It didn't really matter anyway. So, yeah, the quads weren't quite in full effect, but, you know, It's a work in progress, you know. It's all part of the journey, you know.
Yeah, even though we were watching this on YouTube from something they'd filmed in 2019, apparently it was like going back to the old tape trading days of the mid-90s when you'd get like a copy of a tape that had been copied a bazillion times, and you were trying to use the tracking on your VHS player. And yeah, it's kind of like watching a match like that, basically.
I'm sorry, man. For a second there, I honestly thought you were telling me that this match was from 2019. And right. I was like, wait a minute, hold on. And then I clicked. Okay, yeah. Yeah, it is one of those it went. Did you ever have one of those like dual tape machines when you were a kid or something?
No, probably not now.
No, I was desperate to I wanted it for Christmas so that I could dual record or duplicate wrestling VHS from the video store. To my surprise, even back then they had copyright protection. I couldn't actually do it. But it seems like this match, you know, went through that multiple times before finally being uploaded onto the internet. But hey.
It's like ECW fan cam footage.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, like we'd get off a tape trader in like 98 or something. Yeah. But anyway, this is a Tangled Web grudge match. So is it kind of hard to explain? Like two sides of the ring are covered in barbed wire with metal fences that are kind of leaning on the ring apron, but they're chained to like the turnbuckles on either side. So they're hanging off the ground, but they're not quite on like the crowd barrier. And then obviously they've got chairs and other weapons in the ring. I mean, Brandon, did I explain that fencing properly? It's kind of a weird setup for a match, isn't it? Like these chain fences are just like sort of like leaning off the side of two sides of the ring.
Yeah, does it count as a War Games match?
Maybe. The sort of like things just falling down though, haven't they?
Did UPW have like a half a cage for their War Games match?
Did they? I'm unaware of this.
It was weird. Their cage was like completely like New Jack was in that match, I think.
Of course he was.
UPW, whatever. But yeah, it was a weird setup. This match, it was like netting for like if you fall out of like a jungle gym or something like that, and you fall into the ropes or whatever. Very weird setup for this Come As You Are Web of Lies match.
So it doesn't sound like a massive crowd here, but like Dickie noted, obviously the quality of the video is not great. So obviously there's a scramble match rules. They're all brawling immediately. Again, Callahan just looks so fucking different. And Mox and Sammy throw Vortex into the barbed wire metal fence, but Break jumps and throws Sammy into it. He takes a barbed wire bat to Mox's head, back and forth, and Mox stupidly takes his t-shirt off and then is hit with more barbed wire shots. I mean, God knows why he did that. All four men are back in the ring as Vortex and Younger try to throw Mox onto the barbed wire fence. Callahan runs the ropes and is again thrown into the fence. Sammy, what were you doing, mate? Callahan's all tied up in the wire on the fence as Younger dives off the top onto Mox on the fence. Vortex then moonsaults onto Callahan on the fence. I mean, daft set with his fence, but they were getting the most mileage out of it, you know, sort of like diving off onto it and throwing people onto it, you know, like pretty spectacular moves. Younger and Callahan sort of escape to the ringside area underneath the fence, and then Sammy, as his bicep ripped open with barbed wire. Back in the ring, Vortex runs Mox's head again with the barbed wire bat, and Mox is bleeding profusely here. Mox sort of gains the advantage and uses the barbed wire bat in return on Scotty. He then lifts Vortex up and dumps him on the other barbed wire fence on the other side of the ring. Younger's back in, nails Mox with some barbed wire, but Callahan comes back in for the save and is slammed back onto the fence. Younger heads up top, but Mox stops him, and it's a superflex through the fence, which crashes to the floor. Sammy and Scotty trade shots as Mox's back is a bloody mess here, thanks to the barbed wire on that fence. Callahan then sets up glass against the turnbuckle, but it's reversed as Vortex hits a double knee, sending Sammy through the glass. That only gets a two. Sammy's bleeding everywhere. Mox is back in the ring, hits Scotty with the lariat for two. Drake then hits Mox with a chair. Mox's face, just a crimson mask here. Younger goes to suplex Callahan onto a wooden barbed wire board that's on the apron, but he can't get it, and Sammy throws him into it, which Younger goes crashing through. Younger back in the ring after that, backdrops Callahan on the other side of the ring and onto the fence. Drake and Mox then trade pinning attempts before Mox gets a hook and a ladder with Callahan holding Vortex back for the 1-2-3. So some fun stunts in this one, especially with sort of like the fencing on the outside. Kind of hard to explain in a podcast like this, but a bit of an out of nowhere ending, kind of like we had in the first match. Skinny Mox in the trunks. What were your thoughts on this match, Dickie?
I actually really enjoyed this match because there was a lot of wrestling. I think even the commentator said, "Oh my god, the technical wrestling match has broken out in this, in this plunder match." It's so wild because, you know, I think I've even heard Nick Gage talk about these kind of, you know, death matches where, you know, it's sort of, it's gimmicked, but it's not gimmicked. It's gimmicked in a way where things are supposed to look a lot worse than they actually are, even though they are pretty bad. You'll never see me take any of these things, right? Whether it's going onto barbed wire or you know, glass and light tubes, the impact is supposed to look a lot more spectacular than, you know, what it really feels like and all that sort of stuff. And so I watched this sort of stuff just being like, okay, I think they're being safe, you know, they're, you know, in a deathmatch sense, you know, everything seems pretty good. And then I think this is Scotty Vortex guy gives either Mox or Callahan this fucking STO, like right onto the back of his head. And I'm like, what are you doing? Like that, that seems more dangerous than anything else in this match. So look, I mean, I thought the wrestling was pretty good in this. Don't get me wrong, but yeah, I liked how my favorite part was actually Scotty Vortex was in the corner. Callahan's beating the shit out of him, and Callahan's just waylaying him. And then Moxley comes in to start double teaming him, and before Moxley can get one strike in, this Scotty Vortex guy just like stops him and just beats up two people. Like, it was just like, it was like, wait a minute. So you're useless against one person, but you're fucking, you know, the Hulk against two people, yeah, as soon as that happens. So I thought that was funny. And I guess it was Younger who took the pin, right? Yeah. He kicks out at 3.01, I wrote here.
gotta keep that heat, brother.
Yeah, gotta maintain that heat, you know. He, you know, he knows he's going to be running for office later on, so he needs to be able to make sure that he still looks strong. So, but yeah, no, again, from what, if I squinted my eyes, I thought it was really fun.
What about you, Brandon? Was this a tangled web, sort of like a gimmick that we should be seeing more often?
Oh no. No. I mean, has GCW done a match like this in their current time? I don't think so. If they did,
they just did a fucking Punjabi prison match, so I'm okay. Sure they've done a fucking
fair enough.
Nate Webb. What is it? What is it called? The spider's web. Anyway,
Nate Webb.
But once again, Drake Younger standing out again, man. This guy was a force of nature in the ring, man. In this death match scene, he was, despite his beliefs and political beliefs and whatnot, the man could go. I have much respect for that, I guess.
It was a good
Cromulent match. I dug it very much. I dug the chaos.
It was, yeah. There were a lot going on, and there were a lot of dopey things by sort of like Sammy and Mox in here. Like, why was Mox getting run over with barbed wire, and he's like, "Oh, I'll take my t-shirt off so they can rub it over my back," which seemed a bit random. And then Sammy Callahan running the ropes, and you know, it's like you're definitely getting thrown into that fence, mate. But anyway. On to the final match of the selection box, and it's Moxley against Robert Anthony from, again, CZW, and this event was called It's Always Bloody in Philadelphia from October the 9th, 2010. And I had no idea It's Always Sunny had been going on that long, so a long time for that show to be going on. So, again, we are at the arena in Philadelphia, and Robert Anthony had gone under a mask as Egotistico Fantastico and feuded with Mox over the CZW world title, and he'd taken the mask off and he was just going by Robert the Ego Anthony here. Mox comes in during his second and final reign as CZW champion here. I think he held the belt for quite a while, and goes straight for Anthony as Anthony's still being announced, wailing on him with punches. He then bites Anthony before ripping his shirt off. I mean, this is, you know, if you were doing, you know, an authorship about Mox, you know, he's quickly in there with the bites, isn't he? And he's continued that on in AEW. They then trade chops and forearms before Anthony hits Mox with a drop kick. Mox is right back up, spears Anthony. Anthony then goes to the top and hits a moonsault for a two count. Back up, Mox hits a drop kick of his own and then locks in a Fujiwara armbar. So we've got, you know, starting off with some actual wrestling in this match for a change. Anthony gets back to his feet and has Mox on the rope, drills him with a kick as Mox falls to the outside. Anthony then slams Mox's head into a table before sitting him on a ringside chair and starts wailing on him with some punches. Anthony gets into it with a fan as John gets back up and levels it with some chops. Anthony then throws Mox into the entranceway and into the barrier, and this is where first blood of the match, Mox is busted open as Anthony gloats around ringside. Back in the ring, and Anthony has a Cobra Clutch on Mox and then goes for a surfboard. I mean, wow, we're busting out all the wrestling in this one. Throws Mox out of the move and then slaps on a rear naked chokehold, and Crown is fully behind Mox, so complete different to the other matches where they were chanting, "You suck dick, Mox." They're actually behind him in this one. They're chanting, "Fuck you, ego," Robert Anthony, and Mox fights out of the choke, hits a lariat, both men are down. Moxley slowly gets up and they trade forearm. Mox then clotheslines Anthony to the outside. And then, here we go. This is what we want from these Caesar W matches. Get some panes of glass out and some chairs. Sets one up in the corner. Anthony hits a German on Mox and then throws a chair into the glass, angering the crowd here. The crowd is so pissed off here, Brandon, because it was an object he used and not a person that went into the glass here. I thought, great, sort of like heel tricky, you know, the crowd are wanting people to go into this, so he's like, no, I'm just going to smash this glass up and you're not going to get to see me throw Mox into it.
Yeah, it was a dirty pool by the gentleman. Come on.
Rob Anthony.
You got to know your audience, man. Come on.
I thought he was going to call Mark Anthony.
Whatever happened to him, Mark Anthony? That guy who was married to J-Lo?
Oh, I was going to say, wasn't he in AEW? But we're not talking about Robert Anthony. Okay. Yeah, I don't know. Isn't he blind now? Oh, that's Bocelli? I don't know.
Anyway, so yeah, onto that. Mox is back.
Hey, I'll just say about this since you're at the spot. I thought it was so funny. He smashed this glass with the chair, and then he's trying to call people out to sweep it out. Like, can you get rid of it? And then he starts trying to do it with his foot, and like I thought it was hilarious because I was just like, I really hope just no one comes out. Like, I hope no one is going to come out and help him clean this up or whatever, because all throughout the match, you saw, like, the officials and stuff helping Mox, you know, get the glass out and set stuff up. And then he's, like, asking, can you sweep this shit out of here, this mess that I just made? And no one did. And, yeah, I thought it was pretty hilarious.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, they're all helping Mox and not him, but yeah. I mean, I imagine that CZW have only got so many staff, you know, they can't be doing this mid-match. But Mox is back up, hits an ace crusher. He then sets up another pane of glass in the corner on some chairs. Anthony rallies, though, goes to the top rope, but Mox catches him. Powerbomb straight through the glass. I mean, come on, that was inevitable. What were you doing going up to the top rope? But Anthony's back up. Sorry, Anthony rolls over and his back just opens up, bleeding everywhere. This is absolutely disgusting. Looks like, you know, someone drew a blood tree on his back. It's revolting. But still, only a two count for Mox. Mox is absolutely furious at this point. Gets another pane of glass in the corner, but Anthony counters and hits a Death Valley driver on Mox through the glass. Quickly hits a taco bender, but it's only for two. Anthony's distraught here. Crowd's chanting, Moxley, Moxley. Mox then grabs a roll-up for the win to retain the CZW World Championship. Three matches in a row, three roll-up victories in these bloody death matches, which is a bit of a theme I think we've got here. You've got this brutality, but the finish is always a roll-up pin. Nick Cage comes out with a barbed wire bat and chases both men off. Anthony would eventually beat Mox for the title in 2011 just before Mox headed off to WWE, but another fun match, some brutal spots. Wasn't expecting all the actual wrestling at the start of the match before we got all the glass spots, but yeah, really enjoyed that, especially there's some brutal stuff, especially Anthony's back and stuff. So, Dickie, thoughts on this one?
I liked the dynamic. I mean, it was pretty clear. I know nothing about, you know, these guys. Well, I shouldn't say these guys. I know nothing about Robert Anthony and, you know, kind of what the whole feud was about and all that sort of stuff. But it was very clear early on that it was like he was the, you know, I guess the straight guy, the pretty boy, you know, just wants to wrestle, and you're up against the crazy, you know, hardcore deathmatch guy. And I'm sure this is a dynamic that's happened countless times in wrestling, but I found it like it wasn't just another deathmatch that you threw in him out. This was kind of like a cool sort of story. And, you know, as soon as he got thrown into that plane of glass, Anthony got thrown into that plane of glass and his back opened up, you know, that's when you could really see that he was falling apart, sort of thing. So he, from what I can remember, he was pretty dominant throughout the first part of this match. And then, as soon as sort of Mox caught him and got him bleeding, you know, you could see the writing was on the wall. Like he was just not going to be able to finish him off at this point. So, you know, I usually don't, when I watch wrestling matches, because I tend to always turn my brain off. I'm not really one to always see the stories that they're trying to tell. But this one actually was quite, you know, probably maybe a bit too obvious for me, or obvious for everybody, but it was one that, I sort of noticed and followed along with. So I gave it two thumbs up, even though it's Robert Ego Anthony guy is like one of the most generic wrestlers I've ever seen. And I looked at his Wikipedia and he has one of the most generic like histories, you know, went to WWE developmental for years, was released, you know, then went back to CCW, whatever, then went to, you know, had some appearances in AEW Dark as recently as like 2 years ago or whatever. And I'm just like, you know, just sounds like typical kind of bland, you know, wrestler who just didn't really kind of make it.
He had a match with Mox on Dark as well.
Oh, did he? I didn't like get into the details, but yes, yeah, there was.
Can't wait to review that, huh?
Yeah, well, there was, we should. There was that weird period of time where Moxley was wrestling on fucking Dark. It was after he dropped after he lost the title to Omega. Him and Eddie Kingston did some stints on Dark, and I actually think we should look at those because that would be quite wild. But you know, look, Martin, just overall, like, you know, it's just so funny watching these matches and just thinking to myself, it's like, and especially in this match, you know, it's like one of these men will become the WWE champion one day. And it's like, which one would you typically think if you just put someone who had no idea, you know, watch this sort of thing? And it wouldn't probably be Moxley, but, you know, here he is, the, you know, Shuin Hall of Famer, Shuin just legend. He's already a legend, still active, but, you know, just incredible watching these early matches and just seeing what he would become.
He definitely strikes you as like a guy that Johnny Ace would have signed back in the day, wouldn't he? Especially around this time period. I'm just looking now. He's now wrestling in NWA as Scion.
Oh, yeah. I did read that bit too. Oh, God.
Challenged Tyrus for the NWA television title, but lost, sadly. And he's also lost to EC3. So he's still knocking about. He's still going all egotistico, fantastico. Was he someone that you were familiar with, Brandon? I've got to say, I imagine there's like CZW like fans like screaming now because I think he's like a bit of a legend from CZW back in the day. But was he someone that you were familiar with prior to this match?
I was vaguely familiar with Michael Anthony. And then watching him, he did look, oh my God, he looked familiar. And like the one thing I noticed about him was he was really tall. He was like taller than Moxley, right? Michael Anthony.
Robert Anthony, even.
Michael Anthony, the basis of...
Van Halen, yeah. You're really familiar with this guy. I can't remember his name. Oh dear. Yes, not the bassist from Van Halen, the wrestler from this match we just watched. But as we discovered, Brandon can't even remember whose name he is. So I suppose in conclusion for these matches, they are fun to go back and watch. And, you know, like Dickie said, they're great to, you know, just watch, you know, switch your brain off. You haven't got to concentrate too much. See some fun spots. You know, your mileage is going to vary because I know there's a lot of people who don't really like death matches. But I just love going back and watching Mox in CZW because he just don't give a fuck and he's just, you know, getting cut open always, doing all sorts of stunts and stuff. They're not five-star matches, but like I said, unique locations with rowdy fans, and Mox is clearly having a blast doing this. So, as I said right at the start, a nice palate cleanser from the episode we did last month, Dickie.
Yeah. And you know what? Good to also have some banter back at the start of the show as well. I mean, you know, it's been a couple of months. So yeah, no, it's good to, especially after, you know, everything. I mean, wrestling, even without the WrestleMania stuff, you know, all the CM Punk stuff and everything's been quite mental. So good to just have a bit of fun, Martin. You know, I've not been feeling, you know, I've been feeling a bit down this week, just exhaustion and this all, not just watching these, but talking about them as well with you guys has perked me right back up. So, yes. So we'll, definitely, I think this is a good, you're right. It is a palate cleanser. It's weird to say that about matches where people bleed profusely and get their heads sliced open, but you are absolutely right. They are. So we should definitely mix a few of these in, especially when the wrestling world takes a giant shit on our, you know, our morality or our, you know, our morals and stuff. So yeah, well done. Thank you, Martin.
No, thank you. What about you, Brandon? Any final thoughts on these matches? I mean, is this something that you would have been checking out back in the day, sort of thing? Were you a big death match guy in the sort of like mid to late 2000s?
I don't know, man. It was kind of dangerous to go to those shows back in the day, man. Like, especially with the wrong crowd, like, you know, looking all pretty boy and fuego, mixing in with the Jenko jeans gang of hooligans running to those shows. I don't know if I would have fit in or not. You know what I'm saying? But
sorry, and you were sorry. And which one were you? The Jenko jeans ones? <or? laughs>
Sorry, but these shows, these are pretty easy watches. Good, clean fun. Good to reminisce about the good old times, winning by roll up like it's 2007 Raw. Especially with what's going on in the pro wrestling world and whatnot. These are always good times to reminisce and talk about the good times and how easy life was in the sport of kings.
Indeed, yeah. I mean, you turning up to that fit that you went to in to the Poison Rana post meetup, yeah, that you wouldn't have fit in, that's for sure. Yeah, with the coat and the shirt, yeah.
I looked like I was going to sell some crack.
Anyway, so we've come to the end of the episode. Thank you for listening. So Poison Rana have been putting out tons of stuff, the Road Diaries in Philadelphia. My favourite one was the last one, Dickie, I think, before you were getting your Uber to the airport, and you all, other than Fire Frank, you all sounded absolutely fucked on that one. Fire Frank sounded like the only one who was still fighting fit, and then you guys were like, yeah, it's been fun, but yeah, I can't wait to go to bed and sleep.
I don't know how Frank does it, man. You know, like it's not just the wrestling brain of his. He's got the stamina, and you know, I think for him as well, he just like Brandon said, his mania was seeing everybody again, and you know, is definitely a favorite of mine to see, and I'm glad I got to see him again. But my voice would get worse from there. It's actually come back now. For a while there, I was going to say, Mom, we might have to prolong this again because I can't even talk. But yeah, that was, oh boy. Yeah, that was tough.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Sorry, Brandon.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, yeah, great episode of Postmarks as well with Fighter Franks as well. Definitely check that out. But yeah, obviously,
that guy goes a lot of shows, man. I don't know how he does it, man. He's season ticket holder for House of Glory. What a man. Unbelievable.
Yeah,
I couldn't do that.
No, I don't think I could these days. But we had Braden's great Cody Rose track as well. That was on the Cena Shot in the Dark, obviously, as well. And
shout out to the Warriors that went to night one and nearly froze to death. Shout out to them. Those are the truth.
Thank you, Brandon. Thank you, Brandon.
Yeah.
Like, not only froze to death, okay, but like here. The problem is that I say to you guys, oh, what's the temperature going to be like? And you're like, oh, it's actually going to be quite nice. You're actually lucky. It's going to be quite nice for WrestleMania. I looked at the, you know, whatever. And it's just like, I need some other way to communicate what nice means. Because I'm from Australia. You know, nice is 28, 29 degrees, you know, sort of mid-90s in the Fahrenheit. This was not anywhere near that. So RIP my chonklers that I wore on the plane over, because as soon as I got to Philadelphia, they went in the bin and I put proper shoes on, and I wish I'd have brought gloves, and just terrible. Just the weather. Look, I'm not going back. Okay. Everyone, you need to come here. Honestly, you don't even need to share a bedroom or beds with people. I've got a spare room. Anybody who wants to come, Mrs. Dickey will teach you how to ride a horse. You know, we can go to we can bar hop in my town, pub hop. There's like five of them, all next to each other, so we can just do that. A whole bunch of fun, and the weather is beautiful. Don't have to worry about
too, right?
Bottling, like smashing people in the head with bottles. Yeah,
recycling.
Oh, right. Recycling. Less so out where I live now. I don't think they really give a fuck about that. Just throw it in the river or something.
You would have fit in with those chanclas in Kensington if you wanted to score some heroin with those chanclas.
Well, that was on the list, but unfortunately I was just too jet lagged to score any heroin, so I just couldn't make it. That and the DDT show. Heroin and the DDT show just couldn't do it over the weekend, yeah.
Yeah, that would have warmed you up for a Mania Night one, I think. How many, so in these fields around your house, how many, like, things in there can kill you, like?
I thought you were going to say, how many tournament of death matches can I hold?
well, that too.
Because I could hold probably five at once. How many things could kill you? A field of honor? Let's see, Tony Khan joke. Let me just go to my joke book. I got nothing. Let's see. How many things could kill you? I mean, in all, look, it's really not as bad. You'd be lucky. If you came over to my place for 2 weeks, you'd be lucky to see a snake. You'd be unlucky, should I say, to see a snake. Because they're not really that around, as long as I keep the grass short, which I cannot because fucking Ryobi screwed my fucking ride-on mower. So actually right now is probably not a good time. We're having to pay someone to come over and do the grass to work. But anyway, genuinely, like, there's really nothing to worry about. Just don't sleep outside, you know, but why would you?
But can't those things get inside as well?
They're not really that interested. Like, it's not like a snake goes, "Oh, what's happening in there? I'm gonna," you know. They're actually quite scared of people.
That's good.
And the only reason why snakes, like, let's say, would come into, like, try and go into your roof, is because you have rats in the roof, who are there. They're trying to get inside for cover, you know, to build nests and to keep warm. And then the snakes go, "Oh, there's the food. I actually had I paid a lot of money to get this like insulation put into the roof that is kind of it's sort of rat proof because it's all powdered. This is like the dumbest thing to be talking about on this episode, but the point is the rats, they can't build nests in there because it's all loose. It's not like the bats that you would put in. They can build nests and that sort of thing. So I'm pretty confident that the snakes, they're not going to be getting into the house. But yeah, we've seen some kind of around the yard and stuff like that. But you're just going to be vigilant. Like, don't go outside without a flashlight at night. You know, during the day, it's like, you know, wear boots. Even though I wear chonklers all the time, but I'm hardcore, and really, it's fine. You'll be fine.
So there we go. Next year, tournament of death at Dickie's house. Let's do it. Dickie versus 100%. Fans bring the weapons. Anyway, so yeah, Poison Rana. All roads lead to Poison Rana. We'll be back next month, and so I guess we'll see you then. See you later, Ambrose.
I have one thing to say real quick.
Oh, God.
It's from the great Shang Tsung. Rione ni etana no wa, kiame wa shinshare leoni, te take. Goodbye. That's the name.
Did you know Shang Tsung from Mortal Kombat?
All right, Mark.
On that bombshell, we'll see you next month. Thanks for listening. Au revoir.